If you're a leader or an aspiring leader in the business of lifelong learning, you're in the right place. I'm Salisa Steele.
And I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
We're back with a new episode, and we have another interview to share with you. But before we jump to that, I wanted to make sure that you're aware that we'll be holding Learning Technology Design May 18th and 19th in Arlington, Virginia. LTD, as we're calling it for short, is a learning experience designed specifically for professionals in the business of continuing education and professional development. And the goal of the event is really to help attendees find new and better ways to engage learners and to create lasting impact through the effective use of technology. So if you want to make sure that your organization is not getting left behind, and more importantly, if you want to connect with a peer community that can support you as you move forward, this is the event for you, and you can find out more about that at ltd.leadinglearning.com. I also want to be sure to thank YM Learning, formerly Digital Ignite, for sponsoring Learning Technology Design. If you want to find out more about YM Learning and their services and products, you can go to www.digitalignite.com. Now, Jeff, I know for this episode you had the chance to speak with Jay Donahue.
I did. Jay is the president and CEO of the International Association of Administrative Professionals, or IAAP, and we had the good fortune to connect with Jay initially because he was an attendee at the Leading Learning Symposium, and I was very impressed with his overall perspective on learning, and of course, as part of the Leading Learning podcast, we've been trying to connect with leaders of trade and professional associations and get their perspective on learning. So we spent some time talking about his coming into IAAP. He's only been there a few years. He's really spent some time trying to bolster the certification program, and then along with that, really looking at education and what can they do with their education and learning to increase quality, and also, you know, how do they start going international at a bigger scale with it, because they've got that I, that international, in their acronym, obviously. And then we also talked about just, you know, his perspective on how association leadership potentially needs to be thinking a little bit differently. And, you know, he is one of those people who believes that you really need to be thinking beyond just the traditional concept of members, really thinking about your broader stakeholder base and the customers that you could be serving. So to, you know, have that as your perspective as you're leading the organization. So Jay's a very, very smart guy, and it was just a great conversation.
Well, great. That sounds like it will make for a good listen. So let's hop on over to the interview.
Hello there, this is Jeff Cobb, and I am joined today by Jay Donahue, and Jay is the president and CEO of the International Association of Administrative Professionals, or IAAP, to shorten that down a little bit. And Jay, welcome to the Leading Learning Podcast.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Glad to be a part of your programming.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk some. You know, you and I had a chance to meet back at the Leading Learning Symposium in the fall, and I know that learning and education are very important to what you're doing there at IAAP. But before we dive into that, tell us just a little bit about who IAAP is, you know, who you serve, what you do for them, that sort of thing.
Certainly. A lot of people don't know the name of our organization, and it's a mouthful. But we were founded originally in 1942 as the National Secretaries Association, and we became the Professional Secretaries International Organization, and then changed our name to include the administrative profession in the late 1990s. And that's a challenge when an organization has changed their name several times over the course of their history, and oftentimes I'm finding that I still have to refer back to we were the secretary's organization, but today's member is clearly not a secretary. Mm. We like to think of our members as being a partner to their boss, someone that has continued their lifelong learning by making sure they have the skills and the competencies to really be that partner for their boss. We have, Jeff, a little over 10,000 members. We are a global organization, but our footprint primarily is in North America, where we have an organizational structure that includes branches in Canada and in the United States. and in some of the U.S. territories close by. We are wanting to, as we ourselves are restructuring our organization, we're wanting to make sure that what we're doing serves our primary market here in North America. But we are the largest organization in the world to specifically work for those working in office and administrative support positions.
And I definitely want to get into some of that global perspective, some, because I know that's top of mind for you. I mean, maybe as a path to getting there, I know, and you've already mentioned, you know, the word learning a number of times. Obviously, this is a podcast about learning and leadership. And you say that, you know, it's part of your core purpose to help your members and the others you serve learn. So what's your vision for how IAAP can most effectively support learning? And you know, has that vision evolved since you've been there?
I would say that it has. I've been here now 4 years, and when I came on board, the organization was in the process of losing members, primarily because it was an aging membership, and our attendance numbers were going down at our various conferences. And in my observation and my opportunity to understand the culture, which, you know, is usually a six-month process, it was clear to me that the educational programming was not top-notch and that we were also not providing the needed skills, which were obviously heavy in technology. And I came to learn that we actually did not have anybody in the profession, members in the profession, that were helping us with our educational programming or identify the topics or the curriculum. But I come from a long history in this profession, and every organization I've ever been affiliated with, their foundation, their backbone is in lifelong learning. And I know myself, I've always been an advocate for that and have always taken upon myself to take advantage of my professional organization and the education that's provided through them. So over the course of my first year and a half, I was very fortunate to have the support of our elected leadership. We created a strategic plan, a roadmap for this organization that really had not existed for many, many years. And key to that was realizing that the niche we had in the market was the education that we could provide. We were the only organization that was offering a certification in the profession. Yet, very surprisingly, we didn't have any control over the study materials for one to use in preparation for taking the certification.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, so we've worked really hard over these last 4 years to give ourselves a very proud menu, if you will, of online, on-demand, and live educational programming. And we believe by doing that that's going to be the future for this organization, whether it's members or more customers. We have the product now. We now have the materials to purchase and use to study for the certification exam. We have a very robust on-demand library of webinars. Our conferences now are being recognized by the industry as the best face-to-face conferences for the professional. And we have an organized process now where we use members to help us identify, and use members and their bosses to help us identify what are the skills down the road that are necessary now to start teaching, so our people will always be a step ahead of their colleagues. There's 4.3 million admin positions in North America.
Wow.
So when I said earlier we only have 10,000 members, think about how large that audience is.
You've got some good potential for growth, it sounds like.
Well, we do. And I think many organizations are finding, many after the Great Recession, that our traditional model of running an association where you were reliant on your members being your customers is probably not the way the future is going to work. There's so much competition, as we all know. in the for-profit sector, but also in other organizations, other nonprofits, that relying solely on members who are voluntarily paying a dues is not necessarily going to be your strongest revenue stream. But if you can convince the market and then let the market know that you have the educational product that is wanted and needed, I think that's where your future is going to be. You know, a little side story, Jeff. If I were a C-suite boss today seeking an administrative assistant, an executive admin, however you want to call it, there's probably 32 different titles in our membership of what they call themselves. But I would be looking for a college graduate that would be able to sit with me at the table when we're discussing budgeting, when we're discussing strategic planning, when we're discussing marketing concepts, all sorts of topics that a C-suite person would be dealing with, and being able to task or delegate to my executive admin specific projects and let them run with it. And so our education now is focused on that type of individual getting the skills that they didn't necessarily get as refined in school, but they have an understanding, and allow them to get more education to truly be that six-figure earning admin sitting as their partner to their boss. And we have members that are like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I can imagine. So it's become just a much more sophisticated position over time. I mean, you have to know so much more about the field you're working in, about the technology you're using. I mean, you know, all of these things that I'm sure you address in how you're offering out education and learning to your audience. Now, I mean, it sounds like you've got some tremendous opportunity. Obviously, you talked about how big the prospective audience is out there. You've got the potential to expand beyond North America to you know, really be that international organization. What are the challenges? I mean, what kinds of things keep you up at night? What are your pain points as you're trying to do all of this?
Well, I think, you know, the pain points at first were to make sure that we have the quality and consistency of educational programming that we now do have. Mm. And now what keeps me up is a lack of awareness. And I can't pinpoint it to one specific thing or another, but there are so many non-members that are in the profession that don't know about us. Mm. And we have there's a for-profit organization that runs a convention, an annual convention that's very similar to ours, but it doesn't have the quality of networking and connections and the things that really, you know, are the foundation of associations, you know, where like-minded people come together to learn and connect. So if we could only get our name out there, and it helps when you have large memberships, and 10,000 is not large enough, but if we could grow in our membership numbers, but grow in awareness, I think that's going to be a key point to our future success. I'm real excited that we have just recently revamped our entire certification program. Mm. And we have, as I mentioned earlier, we now have the Bible, if you will. We have the study guide that actually supports the exam itself. We know the next generation all are interested in obtaining certifications or certificates. They're, you know, digital badges, stackable credentials, mm-hmm. you know, they want letters after their name, and we are the only organization, and we remain the only organization in the global environment to have that certification. And now that we have revamped it, it's my hope that we'll be able to gain the prestige and awareness through our certification. I'm real excited that our new body of knowledge, which supports the certification, is being used and becoming more known in the community college environment.
Interesting.
We have our program, our body of knowledge, is now in the hands of some academia that are developing their curriculums for their two-year degrees such that perhaps in the near future when you graduate with an associate's degree, you also are simultaneously taking some sort of a pre-certification exam for ours. But that gives you that much more ability to get your foot in the door for that first opportunity.
And how actively are you cultivating those kinds of academic channels? I mean, do you have somebody that's going out and talking to community colleges? Are you doing that? You know, how is that sort of thing coming together?
Well, we do have a staff person on my team that is responsible for certification, and that's a lot of her focus is to develop those relationships in academia. She has formed a focus group that met a couple months ago for a day to talk about how the body of knowledge that we have developed and published, how does that work within their curriculum, and we found that it is very much accepted, very much wanted, very much needed by the teachers. We actually even have some of the professors purchasing our study guide and using that as a textbook, even though it was not created to be a textbook. But that's going to be a full-time effort, and our thought is, you know, it might take a couple years, but once the Association of Community Colleges kind of embraces and endorses our body of knowledge, then you have people out there in the workforce that see that there is actually a certification that is available, and the hiring people are going to be asking for that when they're looking at people's credentials. Are they certified as an office administrative support person? And there'll be an awareness, oh yes, there is an organization that does provide that certification. And no different than in my profession, the CAE is sometimes used as the deciding factor of whether I get looked at for another opportunity, job-wise or not. We hope that the CAP, the Certified Administrative Professional, will carry that same kind of weight. And our studies already show us that those that have obtained their CAP earn higher wages both in the United States and in Canada. So we get the we get the workforce to recognize it. I think that we'll see very sunny days for this organization going forward.
Yeah, that's great. You create that kind of pull-through demand that I know a lot of organizations are striving for through their certifications. Now, you've already mentioned earlier you do quite a bit with online education, and in fact you've done a good job, in my opinion, branding, you know, those online education initiatives as Learn It IAAP. Where do you see that going in the future? I mean, do you see the online as a big growth area for you? Are there ways you're looking to, you know, expand that, innovate, do new things there?
Yes. I mean, I don't think we'll ever have enough product on the shelves. You know, we'd like to have the financial resources where we could capture programming at our live conferences. We're not there yet, but, you know, many organizations do that. I do see us creating some tiers in our certification program. We are definitely going to be looking at some certificates for those individuals that maybe are interested in getting more skills in accounting or more skills being recognized that they have earned in medical records, or it might be in strategic planning. I definitely see what we've learned from our involvement with your organization, and there's plenty of opportunity for us to continue to build that online platform of programming. We're currently about to migrate over to our second LMS, and we're real excited about that. We finally have a product that will enable us to be the repository for individuals' continuing education credits and be able to have them housed here. And if they're a member, obviously be a complimentary service. If not, you know, we will provide it to others. But here's a great way for someone that's getting ready for their annual performance review. Push a button and get a printout of all the CEUs that they've done the previous year, or if it's time for recertification, and in our case that's every 5 years, to be able to print out their report showing that they've accumulated enough of the recertification points. necessary to get recertified.
Right, right. So you really become the hub for their lifelong learning. I mean, they're getting the certification from you, they're maintaining it through you, they've got their records with you, they're, you know, interfacing with their employer really through information you're providing. So you're really, locking people in a positive way.
Well, that's our vision. That's our hope.
Yeah.
I would love to see us be three times the size in terms of members. But, I like so many other organizations, Jeff, we're all challenged by how to connect with the new generations in the workforce.
Mm.
And like any organization like us that's been around for nearly 75 years, our membership population is aging. And we're not doing an effective job of replacing those that are retiring and therefore no longer continue their membership. We haven't made that connection yet.
Mm-hmm.
Once somebody in my profession identifies that magic pill, then they're going to be a very wealthy person, because that's my second thing that keeps me up at night, is how do we convince those people that they should invest in their profession by investing in this organization, which is the one that represents their profession.
Right, right. And I guess kind of related to that, and I'll preface by saying this can be a really kind of difficult question to answer, but in your mind, I mean, how do you draw the connection between what you're doing with certification, with your just broad learning efforts in general, and the overall impact that you're having on the profession? I mean, do you feel like you can concretely say that, and I know you've only been there for 4 years, but, that yes, we have raised the bar in our profession because of what we are doing with our learning efforts?
Well, on a personal side, I would say yes. I mean, that's what we've all been striving for. We've been very fortunate to have a very supportive elected leadership. When we asked for their support to grow our online learning, they're very supportive. We've asked for their support to give our website the user-friendly, navigable site that one needs to be able to interface with the LMS. They've been supportive of that. Have we been recognized as setting the bar? I venture to say probably not.
Mm.
But what we continue to hear from those that are either in demand because they speak to our profession or are truly lifelong learners and seek out every opportunity that they can, our programming is superior to what they see out in the marketplace. But what really we have in our possession that they don't see or feel at these other conferences is the ability to connect.
Hmm.
That ability to learn with someone, to be able to keep in contact with that someone, to have that someone find their next opportunity in times of change, that is why they continue to come to us. And that's an asset that we haven't done an effective job yet on qualifying that in our recruitment messages, in our overall messaging.
Right, right. Now, I think that's a challenge for so many organizations. And I know to start to wrap up here, I'm going to ask you one kind of much broader question and then narrow down to your own lifelong learning practices. But broadly speaking, I know, you're not just the executive of IAAP, you are an association executive. You're part of the American Society of Association Executives. You've got your certified association executive, CAE credential. So when you look out at associations broadly and your peers and association leadership now, do you see ways that you feel like when it comes to the question, specifically of learning and supporting learning and education and that sort of thing, are there ways that associations and association leaders need to be acting differently at this point, in your opinion?
I would say I would make a reference back to an earlier comment. Hmm. I think the business model for associations in the future is going to be one that's much less reliant on membership income,
mm-hmm.
and much more reliant on customer revenues. And those customers are anybody out there that would seek your programs and products. And so if your programs and products are superior and are cost and price competitively, I think you'll have a good chance of continuing to be the association that you want to be in the nonprofit world. Well, I said competition. I mean, there's so much of it, but we've been able to, because we're an association and we don't rely entirely on the revenues from our programs and products, because we do have dues income, we have been able to keep our programs less costly than most of our competitors. Now, that sometimes is a double-edged sword, because sometimes you know people will say you pay for what you get, what you pay for.
Right.
Therefore, if our pricing is lower in the market, but you know, we also have to be sensitive to those people that are our members and who don't have company support or paying out of their own pocket, and you know, they come first because they are the ones that have been with us and stuck with us. And but I don't think there's any reluctance on the part of our members to share what we have. They're very proud of this organization. They're very proud of the quality of and consistency of our education. So if we can make that switch in our business model to seeing a lot more customer revenues, I don't see any reluctance from our current leadership to do that.
Well, great. Yeah, I definitely agree. Thinking outside of the traditional member base is going to be essential going forward. Just to wrap up, I said, you know, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your own lifelong learning habits. That's something we like to ask everybody who comes on to the podcast. I mean, what are some of the most essential things you do to, you know, stay up to speed, make sure you've got the skills and knowledge that you need to keep playing the role you're playing?
Well, I read a lot. I interact with my colleagues in the market that we're in. We are headquartered in Kansas City, Missouri, and although there are not a lot of associations here, there's a good couple dozen, and I meet with my peer group at least once a month to talk about the issues that are our challenges and to share our best practices. I'm a very involved individual with the local affiliate of the American Society of Association Executives. That's the Kansas City Society of Association Executives. I have my certified meeting professional certification as well, and I am active in the Professional Convention Management Association, because I believe, and I was taught many, many years ago, that meetings could be upwards of 40 to 50% of your organization's revenues. The senior staff person better understand the nuances of what's taking place with face-to-face and online meetings, so that's why I've maintained my education and commitment to lifelong learning with really that association as well as ASAE. And I got my CAE long, long time ago, Jeff, back when they were using blue books. It wasn't a multiple choice, but I have recertified every 3 years since the early 90s, and I've had my CMP since the mid-90s and have recertified that all the way to date, too. So I walk the talk, and I encourage my staff colleagues to do so as well, and we support their interests in maintaining their competencies by their involvement in their respective associations.
Well, great. Well, that's heartening and encouraging to hear. Just to wrap up here, it's been a pleasure talking with you, always is. Can you let folks who are listening know where to find IAAP? And to the extent you're open to it, if there's a good way to, you know, connect with you, whether it's social media or whatever, if, you know, folks have questions and want to follow up with you.
Well, I think the best way is to go to our website, which is www.iaap-hq.org, and that's HQ as an abbreviation for headquarters. So IAAP-HQ.org, and you can reach the contact area where myself and my staff colleagues are all accessible to anyone. And then we can migrate from there to whatever someone's preference is as far as social media.
Well, great. Well, Jay, thanks so much for taking the time to talk today.
Jeff, enjoyed it. Thank you, and best for you and your organization as well.
That wraps up our interview with Jay Donahue. To get show notes for this episode, go to leadinglearning.com/episode21. While you're there, you'll see various options for subscribing to the podcast. And if you are getting value out of the podcast, we would be truly grateful if you would take just a few seconds to subscribe.
We'd also be grateful if you'd take just a minute to give us a rating on iTunes. To do that, you can just go to leadinglearning.com/iTunes, and we'd really appreciate it. It makes a world of difference to help others find the podcast.
Also, consider just telling other people about the podcast. You can send out a tweet by going to leadinglearning.com/share. That will auto-populate a text you can use for a tweet. Or if tweeting isn't your thing, you can pick your social network of preference and spread the word that way. Also wanted to just mention again that we will be holding Learning Technology Design, LTD for short, May 18th and 19th in Arlington, Virginia. You can find out more at ltd.leadinglearning.com. And also wanted to thank again YM Learning, formerly Digital Ignite, for sponsoring LTD. And you can find out more about them and their products and their services at www.digitalignite.com.
So that's it for yet another episode. Thanks again, and we will see you the next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.